Father, thank you so much for the word and for those that are out and partake of it. I pray you bless them for that, and I pray you bless our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all of us have a authority that we use as a final authority base for what we believe and do. And hopefully, in the course of this study, we will come to the conclusion that this is it. This is the total authority base for what we believe and do. We may not always do it, but that's what we want to do, and this is the guide that we're using as our authority base. So if something is opposite of this, we want to get to the point where we're saying we're sticking with this. Forget what anybody else is postulating. Now, in the course of dealing with people, there are a variety of false sources of authority that people use as a basis for what they believe or what they do. All people, regardless of who they are, how they act or how they react, believe and disbelieve, they do that on the basis of some authority. In other words, they are choosing to believe and do whatever they choose to believe and do on the basis of some type of authority. Every human being has an authority base for what he or she does, and they appeal to that base as justification for what they do. Now, the scriptures are clear that there's nothing wrong with having an authority base as long as the authority base is in conformity with God and in conformity with His Word. But the scriptures are also equally clear that if it comes down to a choice between doing what's wrong in the sight of God and doing what's right in the sight of God, we ought to obey God rather than men. So that if it gets down to a choice as here's God our authority base or here's man our authority base, in that decision we say we choose to obey God. Now, most people have never taken the time to actually think about what it is they use as a basis for their authority. Most people have not taken the time to actually say, well, what's the real authority for what I do and think and believe? I mean, what really is the authority base? And as a result, most have been lulled, I think, into almost a spiritual stupor, actually being governed by some authority which is not an absolute authority and which often is a false authority. So the purpose of this question, what are the false sources of authority, is to point out the various things that people use as their authority base. They appeal to these things as a basis for what they believe, and they appeal to these things as a basis for what they do. And although the official titles of these false sources have existed for many years in the study of systematic theology, it is evident that they're just as contemporary and as relevant as they were hundreds of years ago when theologians said this is the false source of authority. Now, the first false source of authority is what we would call rationalism. Rationalism. Now, rationalism is basically the belief that a person's own mind is the ultimate authority. It's the view that only accepts what a man may personally and individually reason. In rationalism, a person basically says, my mind is my authority base. Now, of course, you have big problems with that, because then, if that's your authority base, your mind, what happens when your mind contradicts somebody else's mind? Who are you going to appeal to? See, somebody is going to then, for the most part, probably in the pride of life, they're going to say, well, my mind is going to stand. What if your mind isn't right? What if another person's mind's right? If you're leaving it to just a rationalistic mindset, it's pretty limited and naive as to an authority base. Now, we would quickly and certainly acknowledge that the Bible is very clear and very careful to place a high priority on the development of the mind. There's no doubt about that. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's no doubt the Bible places a high priority on mind and thinking. But to make one's own mind their ultimate source of authority is a very dangerous thing to do, because at best, any human mind is finite, and which means it's limited. And if our ultimate authority basis must be a finite, limited human mind, then you have no absolute authority. You're left up to what some limited, finite individual thinks, and that becomes your authority base. That is no authority base. That's no better than anybody else. And so then it becomes a toss of a coin, well, whose mind is right and whose mind is wrong? So this becomes a real shallow authority base in all reality. Plus, every human mind is sinful, which means Every human's mind is colored and lacking in many ways. Our authority basis is sinful, and it's a depraved human mind. We have a defective authority if that's our authority base. So rationalism is not the kind of authority base that we want to use as our ultimate source of authority. A mind needs to grow in knowledge, which means it's not the source of knowledge. When Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that tells you right now there's something wrong with your mind that needs to be transformed or changed. That tells us we can't use our mind as our ultimate authority base. Now, in the course of history, there have been all kinds of guys who have used their minds as an authority base. For example, Francis Bacon, back in the 1500s, he says man has power on his own to control things if he can apply correct methodology. That was his view. Your mind, if you can just apply correct methodology, you can control things. All right, explain Joseph. Joseph had correct methodology, and things didn't seem to work out for him initially. So he really didn't have the ability to control things. Then you had Thomas Hobbes, who in the 1600s says, my ability to reason is the word of God. That's what he said. He was a liberal who's now in hell, but that was his philosophy. My ability to reason is the word of God. Then, of course, you got into David Hume, who just basically said, I don't believe the scriptures are inspired. I believe that I am my own mind, and I'm the authority for what I believe. I'm the authority for what I do. And then, of course, probably one you're all familiar with, Charles Darwin, who in the 1800s says, and this is what he said, my species theory is the gospel. His theory is the gospel. Now just think about that. There's trouble. You're theorizing. You don't even know. And if you're basing your absolute belief system on theory, that shows you how shallow it is. So you see, rationalism just is not going to cut it when it comes to being our authority base. If we're left to theories, if we're left to speculation of one person's mind, and we say, there's our authority base for what we believe and do, then we have no real absolute authority base. Because somebody else is going to come along with a different idea and a different mindset, and then we're going to be forced to say, well, now whose mind's right? Should we stick over here or should we go over here? Rationalism is a very deficient and very dangerous system, and it is not a true absolute authority. Now, there's another false system of authority, and it's called mysticism. Mysticism is the false belief system that makes one's feelings and experiences their absolute authority. The mystic is one who's using as an authority base for what they believe, what they've experienced. Often with a mystic, you'll hear him say, well, God did this. God healed this. God spoke to me. God led me. God revealed this to me. God directed me. It really is a form of, in many ways, mysticism. It's the idea that my feelings and my experiences are really what I use as a basis for what my authority and decisions are. Now, there is a sense in which true biblical Christianity is experiential. We will not deny that. You come to faith in Jesus Christ, you begin an experience of walking with the Lord, you begin an experience of developing in righteousness. The Word of God is heard. The Spirit of God does, in fact, move in our minds and hearts. There is a sense in what we would call there's a true mysticism about that, where God works in a person's life and changes the heart, and you sense it, and there's a realness to that. We'll not deny that. But that's not the same as making your feelings and experiences the basis for what you believe. If you base your belief system on your own experiences and your own feelings, you're going to end up with some bizarre theology. Now, a mystic has major problems when they're trying to justify what they believe and what they do. First of all, feelings most of the time lie. Feelings most of the time do not express the truth. Feelings most of the time are fickle and oft times governed by momentary situations and circumstances. I can tell you this, just observing what my own life used to be and also observing what I see with people who have problems, most wrong choices are made by people following their feelings. That's their authority for what they're doing. Because if you square it off and you say, now, just a minute here, I don't know what you're feeling, but here are the facts. people's feelings just go crazy. And I think Satan plays the game in the arena of feelings. Therefore, to use your feelings as a basis for what you believe or make that your authority base because we have this feeling, that's just crazy. In the Mormon church, a Mormon church that denies that Jesus Christ is God, a Mormon church that says Jesus Christ is Satan's brother, that's how blasphemous that church is. Yet they'll tell you, we have a feeling in our bosom that this is right. In fact, they base their entire system of belief on what they feel. They're mystics. It's not, we're just giving a different name to it, but that's what they are. They're mystics. They're using their experiences and their feelings as a basis for what they believe. That's pretty shallow. That's a big problem there. Secondly, experiences, especially in the religious arena, can be very deceiving. Now, Satan's a master craftsman at doing deceptive things when it comes to the way people feel. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I think this is a great text to show that point. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name? Did not... And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now these people were obviously very deceiving in what they did in religion. They had some feeling to what they were doing. They didn't know Jesus Christ, and they're going to be condemned throughout all eternity. Just because a person has experienced something does not automatically mean it's biblical or right or from God. What we need to realize here is that experiences can be very, very deceptive. And so you don't want your experiences or your feelings to be your authority base for what you believe or say or do. Thirdly, direct messages from God are clearly forbidden after the completion of the book of Revelation. The Bible's very clear. Don't add, don't subtract from the Scriptures. So no matter how convincing or sincere a mystic appears to be, there are no new messages that come from God. He's not giving extra biblical revelation these days. We have the Scriptures in its completion, and God does not speak to people apart from His written Word. So, if a person is using as an authority base their feelings or their experiences, now you got a problem. Because what happens when somebody else has different feelings or experiences? Who's right? Who's wrong? How are you going to tell? How will you determine this? See, that can't be our authority base for what we believe, not the way we feel. And it can't be our authority base, just necessarily the way we think. Which brings us to a third false authority base, and that is emotionalism. Closely associated with this previous point, this authority base relies on one's own feelings and emotions as a main source for what one believes and does. And I have to tell you, people who tend to use this as an authority base, they're just feelings. They wear their feelings on their sleeve, are often fickle, emotional, irrational, unstable. They become, as I would call them, theological airheads who are far removed from developing sound minds. They never do. Those who have this as their authority base continually allude to the fact that they rely on their feelings. Those who use this as their authority base often say such things as, I just feel it's right, or I've got a good feeling about this. Or, I know it because I feel it. Now again, obviously you have many problems with your feelings if you're using that as a basis for what you believe, because feelings often lie and do not express the truth. I love this article that I clipped out of the paper. The devil made them do it. That's what they felt. The cops chased 20 naked Pentecostals. The devil made them do it. That's what some of the 20 naked Pentecostals packed cheek to cheek into a car told police after the vehicle was chased into a tree. Officers watched in disbelief as a group piled out of the 1990 Pontiac Grand Am after the wreck and began religious chants. The passengers, relatives from Texas, said they were en route to a religious retreat somewhere in Florida. He said some passengers said they stripped because their clothes were possessed by the devil. Oh, man. There's their feelings. And this is bizarre. And so these cops pull them over, and these people are doing this based on what they feel. Feelings often lie. Feelings do not express the truth. I know of a woman who was on the internet. She got talking with a man. She abandoned her husband. She abandoned her children. She took off with another man because she felt it was the right thing to do. Her feelings were her authority. It didn't come down to what's right. It didn't come down to, maybe my feelings are out of kilter here. Maybe I should be looking for a different authority base. She used as an authority base her feelings, and she did wrong. And her husband is left without a wife. He's raising daughters who are struggling because they don't understand how a mother could just walk away from them and abandon them. The mother can abandon them because she governs her life by her feelings and not by sound, rational facts. Feelings very seldom communicate to you what is true. If you make decisions most of your life on how you feel, you're going to make wrong decisions. Because that is a lousy authority base. People that do stupid things, crazy things, do that on the basis of feelings. So feelings are not a good authority base either. That's a false system of authority. There's a fourth false system. We call it Romanism. Romanism. Now Romanism is the system that makes one's church or religion the absolute authority. This type of authority base is slanted in that the church is not the communicator of the truth, which it should be. That's what a church should be. When you come to church, you should come and expect that you're going to be hearing the Word of God. We communicate the truth. That's what the church's job is to do. Preach the Word. Communicate the truth. In Romanism, the church is not the communicator of the truth, it becomes the source of the truth. And there's a big difference between communicating truth and saying you're the source of the truth. The true goal of a true church is to accurately communicate the truth of God. The true goal of the true church is not to invent the truth. The truth is already here. The true goal of a true church is you just communicate the truth that's already there. You don't come up with the truth, and you don't determine the truth. You communicate the truth. In a system of Romanism, the real God-ordained role of the church is lost. And those who accept this as an authority base will often cling to the church, even if the church is clearly and biblically wrong, or if it can be established that what the church teaches or believes is false. There are those that will cling to the church even if you can show them that the system of that's being communicated to them is not true to the Word. They will still cling to the church because their authority base is a Romanistic type of mindset. In a base system of Romanism, if it comes down to a choice of we accept the pure teachings of the Bible as opposed to the teachings of the church, in a Romanistic mindset, the Bible is rejected and the teachings of the church are accepted. And this kind of thing goes on all the time. There are many people who fall into this category. Many caught up in Catholicism fall into that category. In fact, this Romanism initially came out of there. They just blindly followed what the church said. They just believed that the church was the authority and not the Word of God necessarily. The church was the authority. And that's what they look to. Mormons believe that. I had a guy one time who admitted to me in John 1, 1-5, that it did grammatically say Jesus Christ is God. That's exactly what this man said, but he said, I'm sticking with the church, and the church denied that. There are people who actually, if you show them the truth, they'll stick with the church. And this isn't just Catholics or Mormons. This can get into all kinds of denominational kinds of things. There are people that really stick to the church, and the church becomes the authority. And you're going, man, you're making a mistake here. The church isn't the authority. The church is a communicator of the truth. The authority is the Word of God. So you get these charismatics, and they're in churches, and their church is the authority, not the Word of God. In some Reformed churches, in some Presbyterian churches, in some Baptist churches, Episcopal churches, they lose sight of what the authority is. It's not the denomination, it's not the church, it's the Word. And they miss this because they have a false system of authority, and it is called Romanism. Now, we never want to minimize the importance of the New Testament church, because God certainly does place an importance and high priority on it. He places an importance on its ministry and on its instruction, but the church is authoritative only And don't miss this only as it lines up with the Scriptures. That's where the authority is, as it lines up with the Word of God. It is not the church that's the authority. It is God's written Word that is the authority. And any church that attempts to usurp the authority of the written Word of God is a false church. And I want to tell you, there are crazy religious arguments that are taking place out there where the church or the denomination is controlling what the people are supposed to believe. And you'd think some of these people would say, it doesn't square with the Scriptures, we're walking away from this. But they don't do it. The bulbs don't seem to go on in their beams. And these are people that have as their authority base a Romanistic perspective. Now there's a fifth false authority base, and it's called instructorism. Now this is the false source authority that makes one's priest, teacher, instructor, or pastor the absolute authority. Now again, the teacher or the pastor or the minister is only authoritative as they are communicating accurately the written Word of God. That's the authority. The authority is not the man, it's the Scriptures. And therefore, you can't make the individual the authority. And those that are caught up in this type of authority source will blindly follow the instruction and the instructor even when it's not biblical. I met a guy who was convinced that he would go into the tribulation, not based on what could be defended biblically, based on what a teacher taught. And because he was taught this by a teacher, he was blindly following the system. And when you would question him, well, what do you do with this text? What do you do with this text? What do you do with this text? How do you connect that? And he could never hold a solid position, because you can't hold a solid position on this position. But he was blindly following the teacher. We know a particular instructor who teaches a dangerously heretical doctrine called Lordship Salvation. There are people who, if you refute them and you show them in black and white, the system does not stand. It doesn't square. They'll blindly follow a teacher simply because that's what they do. Their instructor becomes the authority and not the Word of God. And it's wrong. Never do we want an instructor or a man to be the authority. It's the Scriptures that are the authority. The man is only authoritative as he's accurately teaching and communicating the Scriptures. And that's where the authority base is. And there's no doubt that a pastor or a teacher can be greatly used by God to influence people. There's no question that God says, I want them highly esteemed. The Apostle Paul expected that the churches of Galatia would be loyal to him. He expected that they would defend him. He expected that they would embrace his teaching. However, he also said, if anybody comes preaching another gospel other than the pure grace of God and tries to merge works into it, you let him be accursed. He also said that about a teacher. So, in other words, he said, if I or an angel from heaven, and he puts himself in the category, would ever start communicating something that's contrary to the pure grace of God, let him be accursed. So God's people must realize that the instructor who's to be viewed in an esteemed way is one that is giving careful attention to study and rightly dividing the written Word of God. The teacher is not the final authority. The Word of God is the final authority. And therefore, we're only powerful as we're communicating the true authority base, which is the written Word of God. And certainly, if one is devoted to carefully understanding the Word of God, then that teacher will develop a trust, and people will trust and know that it's going to be handled pretty accurately, because over time they'll learn that, and that's a good thing. But we must always remember, it's not the man that's the authority, it's the Scriptures. And instructorism, in my opinion, is a very, very dangerous thing. And we're warned that as we near the end of the church age, there's going to be many false teachers and teachings that are going to crop up. And man, I'm telling you, it's happening right before our eyes. When I was convalescing at home, I'd listen to our radio broadcast on Sunday, and then I'd watch some of these TV programs where these preachers were on there. I'm telling you, they're saying bizarre stuff out there. One guy was taking a handkerchief and wiping his forehead and telling people that if they wanted God's blessings, that they should contact him so they could get one of these handkerchiefs. This was going to be a key to them getting the blessings of God. I mean, that was just one. Another guy was walking up and down with a microphone, and he says, let's go to Hebrews 15:13. I'm going, there are only 13 chapters in Hebrews. And then he puts up on the board Hebrews 15 something. I'm going, what is he doing? And he's walking back and forth in front of this congregation saying absolutely nothing of substance or consequence that would feed a flock anything. And these people are just soaking it in. They're just being drawn to this drivel. It's nonsense. And it has no eternal value at all. Instruction and instructors are only authoritative to the extent that they accurately expound the Bible. And it's not the instructor who's the actual authority, it's the Bible that is the actual authority. Any teacher, any instructor, any pastor is a sinful, finite man. He's not the authority. The Bible is the authority. Now, he has responsibilities, and he does have accountability to God and to his responsibilities, but the real authority must always be the Word of God, and he must be very careful that he's governing things in ways that are in conformity with the Scriptures. And when you have a gifted, for example, pastor-teacher who's carefully and prayerfully studying God's Word so that he can be precise in what he's presenting, then you do have real authority. And that's the way it should be, because the authority then is coming right out of the Scriptures and it's not the man. So don't allow a teacher to be the authority base, because that's not the authority base. And also, I think that's why James said in a warning to teachers, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing we shall receive the stricter judgment. Now, there's one more false source of authority I want to talk about, but our time is gone, so we'll just stop here tonight. Do you have any questions or comments about what we've covered here this evening? People use one of these. I mean, what we just covered tonight, you can categorize people. You talk to somebody, you can pretty soon figure out what it is they're using as their authority base for what they believe and do. It may be their mind, it may be their feelings, it may be their mystical experiences, it may be their church, it may be an instructor. I mean, you just talk to somebody, you can figure out pretty much what it is their authority base is. What we always want our authority to be is this. This is the authority for what we believe. That's what this doctrine is going to teach us, and there's good reason why we're saying that this is the authority for what we believe, because it will be proven to be our only authority.